Hello, what's poppin', people? Here we are, doing our Monday podcast with Mark from Berkeley, Jay from Plymouth. I'm Drew from Ferndale, and this is the Drew and Mike podcast.
Yo.
Woo! Yeah. Not really sure where to start. I guess with
Since you mentioned Berkeley, can we start about the controversy in Berkeley?
Yeah, there are... I'm not sure why this is so controversial. They're shutting down a road to see what happens.
I can't believe how much media coverage it's getting.
You're basically talking about shutting down a fairly minor road.
Rabina, yeah, well, it's a major, like 12 miles, the big road in Berkeley. And Rabina's one of the big offshoots of it. There's businesses that bleed out onto it. So they're going to shut it down to make like a public walkway. And businesses are mad. I think it's solely because the new city manager is a newcomer that's shaking things up.
How many businesses are affected? Like five?
Well, there's a couple businesses down there. I just understand how they're affected, really.
Well, you can walk in.
That's kind of the point. You have to park anyway.
I mean, it's not like businesses extend for miles up Robina.
I don't know. It's just anytime you change something, people are going to naturally overreact towards the negative.
Yeah, that condo thing, people just totally wigged out.
Oh, yeah. I might have signed that petition.
Berkeley's got a fired up electorate.
Tight community, man.
Yeah. Second on the list of important things today would be the terrorism event.
I know.
In New York and Minnesota, and that thing took a real boy. They really got to the bottom of that in a hurry.
I love how quick they got this motherfucker.
Yeah, they sure did. His name's
got him so fast.
Rahami.
Yeah.
Rahami. Mm-hmm. And this story. The more I heard about this, the more bugged I was. Like, this guy's going back and forth to Afghanistan, and he does this, and we had no idea anything like this was going on with this guy.
Did you know he was the class clown?
No, I didn't know he was a class clown.
Yeah, he was the class clown, and of course, he got radicalized late in life.
Something tells me I'm going to see that he's the class clown about 50 times in the next 24 hours.
Right. You might, yeah. Nice try, by the way, jerk.
Yeah,
nice attempt. You killed nobody.
Well, the unexploded
28 people
completely gives everything away. I mean, they get an unexploded bomb with a phone.
How much do you love the hero that found the second bomb?
Was that the chick?
Yeah, who was just walking down and thought it looked like some kid's science project, which you know that probably hurt this Rouhani guy. He's like, it's better than some kids.
It's no science project.
Which made me think of that. Remember that Muslim kid in Texas who built the clock?
Yeah.
And everyone thought it was a bomb, which, you know, that thing was so overblown or whatever.
That was ridiculous.
Now you know why.
Is that lady homeless, by the way?
No.
She's not?
Are you saying she looks homeless?
No, there was a homeless person that was instrumental in finding that thing, supposedly.
No, you're thinking of, that is the one, this is the sad part of the story where Officer Robot died. Do you know, we lost an Officer Robot, right?
Yes.
That's the bombing outside the New Jersey train station.
Okay.
The homeless guy saw a bag and
going through
he,
garbage.
Yeah, and thought he was going to be rich, and then noticed that there was a bomb in there. And the homeless guy called 911. They bring in the robots.
How did the homeless guy call 911?
Probably payphone. Doesn't it work?
When you payphones? Are there payphones? Really?
Wouldn't you think there'd be a payphone at a New Jersey?
I'm thinking the guy's got an iPhone. The homeless
Obama
guy.
Phone?
Yeah, or Obama phone.
Or a jitterbug?
A jitterbug. My mom loves her jitterbug.
She has one?
Yes.
They're great.
The main reason she loves it, though, is she's... I don't know if she's ever made a call on it. She loves the phone directory with the phone numbers inside
it. Oh, that's awesome.
And she keeps it in front of her at all times.
That's great.
Even though she rarely makes a phone call.
Well, you know, you have the green and the red buttons, and then you just have the numbers. What else do you need in a phone?
I think the
actually quite a brilliant idea.
What happens most with the jitterbug is she loses it, and she's looking for it. I know, it's really bad.
Well, then you need to get her the thing, I forget what it's called, where you put it on the phone. Yeah.
Well, then she'll lose that.
Well, then there's just no hope.
Not really.
Then she doesn't need a phone.
She really doesn't. She doesn't call much. That's the thing. It's like, what are you so worried about these phone numbers? She's in absolute panic because she can't find her jitterbug. She doesn't make any damn phone calls. The numbers are on the phone.
It's just another piece of independence.
Yeah. Your cell phone blows.
It does. She cannot. I don't. You know, I've told you this before. every time she's tried to use a cell phone, she talks into the earpiece. Oh. And I'm going, Mom, turn the phone around.
What? Oh. What? This phone doesn't work.
I think that's the kind of phone Rahani used for his bombs, right? Were jitterbugs? Because they were old flip phones.
Oh, they were flip phones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe wow. They, what if they were jitterbugs?
Who's well, on the phone?
What's with this guy crashing in this lobby, by the way? This bar lobby?
Yeah, like a homeless guy.
Well, he's so exhausted from his terrorism that he crashes. I mean, the whole world knows what he looks like, and mm-hmm. he crashes in a lobby. That's pretty stupid.
It wasn't a lobby, right? It was just the front, like, entrance, you know, like a homeless person would sleep, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he was outside, and that's the cop came up to him, realized he fit the description.
And he shoots the cop.
Yeah.
Who had a bulletproof vest on, thank God. And then he got shot a couple times, and he's actually alive, though, so he can live a life of misery now.
Good.
And he did nothing. He really achieved nothing.
Nope.
But doesn't it bother you that this guy's been going back and forth to Afghanistan and there weren't red flags about him? I mean, it seems automatic, doesn't it?
Why? Just because he's going back and forth to Afghanistan?
Oh, you'd think they'd check him out at least pretty thoroughly.
He is Afghani. No, of course. How do you want to check him out, though?
Oh, however they check him out. I don't know. And then a little better since they didn't find anything.
Well, seeing one of his... I don't know if it's a friend or one guy that knew him who says he came back from Afghanistan. It was totally different. That guy might want to say something.
Yeah. And, you know, they've made that request so many times that, you know, those of you who are in the world or who are in a position where you might be close to someone who has been radicalized. I mean, there are certain people who are more inclined to be around someone that would happen to. You've got to let someone know when something weird happens because you're the best information they could possibly have. But it seems that so rarely do those people actually make a phone call. And that guy, yeah, you know, let's put him away. Let's make an example
of
him.
That guy too, yeah. Well, say something like the lady who found the kid's science project. You know what's amazing about that girl too, that lady?
Yeah.
She saw it, kept walking, and then just said, I don't think that looks right, and actually went back to it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Which, if you were uncertain, though, that something was a bomb, wouldn't you just stay where you were and call it in and go, hey, I saw it at this place?
I don't know if I'd want to be near it.
I don't think I'd want to go back to it, no. But I'd call it in.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, they're happy to hear from people. If you're not sure, just call anyway. What do you have to lose?
Sure. No, absolutely.
We've had a little more time to reflect on the Sunday disaster that was the Lions game. And... You know, they came up with a list of games that the Lions have led in the fourth quarter by 12 points and lost at home. Well, it's a really short list.
Well, look how hard. That is a very hard thing to do.
I know. And to think to do it against a quarterback who has 14 career starts.
Oh, Mariota.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's, you know, allegedly good because he's number
one. So is our quarterback.
Yeah, but we know what our quarterback is. He's not a number one draft.
Still, this guy hasn't even completed a full season. And he marched that team down the field.
Two great passes. Both those touchdowns were great.
Made a few pretty good passes. No, I was impressed with him. But, you know, I'm generally impressed with Stafford, too. Stafford made some great throws in that game.
Who would you rather have?
Mariota.
I would, too. Just because of the upside.
Well, just because I know what this quarterback is. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, yesterday to me was the example. That last 7 minutes of that game was the example of this guy's never taken us to the Super Bowl. He just won't. He's not the guy that's going to put together the kind of streak. Although, you know, I think we were all a little deceived last year when he had the great second half, the meaningless second half. There was no pressure on anyone in those games.
No, but it still means something, and like I was saying yesterday, and that the meaning I take out of it is Jim Bob Cooter seems to click somewhere along the line there.
Well, I took that out of it, too. But, you know, Jim Bob Cooter was there yesterday. And for whatever reason, they could only put 15 points on the board. Yeah. One lousy touchdown.
Well, we know why. Penalties.
Yeah, that was part of it. That was a big part of it. We lost a touchdown. We lost 4 points once.
Two,
because two of them were on the same drive. Right.
Yeah, and the other one wouldn't have happened without that beautiful hold by Eric Ebron.
And we did get the 3 points on the other one, so that was really 11 points. I mean, that's
enough.
Yeah. Wait, did we get field goals on both of them?
I'd have to go back to my notes.
I think we did.
Well, I know we did on the second one. I'm pretty sure we did on the first one.
So we lost 8 points. But that's a 10-yard run. That's a bunch. Anyway, the games that we have blown, there was going back to 1998, the Lions were up by 17 against the Bears in the fourth quarter. Eric Kramer caught fire for the Bears. Eric Kramer in his pre-suicidal days, completing 10 of 12 for 126 and a touchdown.
He's doing wonderful now, though.
I guess so. Yeah, no, supposedly he looks exactly
the
same.
Did you watch the SportsCenter thing on him?
I read the.
You would never know.
I read the two-page story in the paper, though, which was really weird. You know, he checks into a hotel to shoot himself.
Yeah.
He's got kids, and he just methodically shoots himself in the mouth.
Yep.
Lives. Got some pretty fucked up teeth, I guess, but.
He's got a hole, too, doesn't he, in this? Yeah.
But he's really remarkably well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was in touch with people about his depression. You know, he was.
Well, he was here. Hipple was helping him out. Yeah, or Hipple's son.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just really strange that he got away, that he sort of got outside of the system and did that.
It's funny because they kind of knew too.
Yeah,
that's what Hipple was saying.
They did.
In that piece.
Uh huh.
What a good dude Eric Hipple is, man.
Yeah, really cool. Then November 21, 2004, the Vikings 22, the Lions 19. The Lions led by 14 in Minnesota entering the fourth quarter, but then Dante Culpepper hit Nate Burleson for a TD and a two-point conversion, and Mo Williams rushed for the game winner.
Oh, God.
Yes, sir.
Wait, what happened with the 98 one? You said it was just Kramer?
Eric Kramer, just got hot in the fourth quarter, and they scored 17 straight points.
Okay.
And then October 8th, the Vikings again, October 8th, 2006. Lions defense,
2000s, yeah,
led by 14 entering the fourth and allowed just 10 points. The bad news, the Vikings recovered an end zone fumble for a touchdown and returned a pick for another, and we lost 26-17. So we were up 17-3 in the fourth quarter and lost 26-17.
Wouldn't that have been Kitna that threw that?
Yeah, I think that might be era? 1 year pre-Kitna. Oh, okay. That might be Harrington. Is that Harrington's last year?
Ooh.
Is that possible? I think it is.
Could be.
Something tells me. Then December 9, 2007, Cowboys 28, Lions 27. A 14-point lead in Ford Field was wasted when Marion Barber ran for one TD in the first minute of the fourth, and Tony Romo threw for another with 18 seconds remaining.
Now, see, that barely counts, if you think about it, because the touchdown wasn't like the drive was really in the third quarter. It's not like they scored a pile of points.
No.
I don't know what it meant. It doesn't matter.
Well, they're just going by 12. If you're leading by 12 in the fourth quarter, what happened? And then yesterday, 16-15. What a stupid score. What a stupid game.
That game was so dumb.
I know, 17 penalties. And just that whole last drive.
Dumb coaching decisions.
I can't get over that last drive. You know, the dumb one-yard pass to Riddick. The sack.
That was so stupid. Why did he dump that off to Riddick?
With 34 seconds or whatever was left. The pass was an out pass to Tate that was like a mile over his head.
Yeah, that was on a third down, wasn't it? That was earlier, wasn't it?
It was the first, might have been the first play. Might have been the first or second play.
Okay.
I think it was early. But it's like he was so zoned in on the receivers the first three quarters, and then all of a sudden he was.
He was not helped out by his receivers all game, though.
No, but I thought he was really good in terms of getting the ball to a place, you know, where he wanted it, when he wanted it, in the first three quarters of the game. And then all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, he's making those shitty. Yeah, I just swore. I was trying not to swear.
I already did earlier, too.
I know.
I'm really mad at myself for it.
Those will be mulligans.
Okay. For our tip jar?
Yeah. Well, this will be the mulligan day. And tomorrow we get one mulligan.
All right. But doesn't yesterday's game kind of signify what he is? He's a good quarterback. He's decent, but he's terribly inconsistent.
Yeah.
And I know people want to point to, he's had all these comeback games and he knows how to lead him to victory. But you know what? How many games has he not brought him back from a comeback? The team's always behind in the fourth quarter.
Somehow they are. You know, he has
he's probably had more opportunity to bring them back from behind.
I think
anyone else on that list.
I think you can go back and look at so many games with this guy where he's had a brilliant half. You know, they're up 20-0 at halftime against the Packers last year. Mm-hmm. The game with the Hail Mary pass.
Yep.
Yeah, they're up 20-0 in that game.
Thanksgiving?
No, it wasn't Thanksgiving.
It was the week after then.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. No, was it earlier in the year than that?
The home game, the Hail Mary?
It was a Monday night it was Monday night football, actually. Wasn't it Monday night or was it Thursday night?
Oh boy, I don't know.
I can't remember.
Just edit this part.
Anyway, you know, no, don't edit you.
I'm just kidding.
You know the game.
I want to say it was like after because they had
the Hail Mary game. Yeah,
they had Thanksgiving and then they had next Thursday night. It had to have been that second Thursday, right? It had to have been.
Yeah,
because they played back to back after.
I'm just
going to
say yes.
Anyway,
frankly, it just doesn't matter. Oh, my only point is that they were up 20-0 at the half. They played a brilliant first half, and then second half was 3 and out. And the Packers slowly but surely got back in the game, and it was too little too late, but he threw the Hail Mary, and the guy caught it, and we lost. But, you know, that's a typical game, in my opinion, where he has this bodacious first half, and you're going, oh, my God, this team looks so good. And then the second half, it's like they're trying to safety dance their way to victory, kind of like Michigan State tried to do and did against Notre Dame. And I thought that was a huge mistake, and it reminded me of it reminded a lot of people of the Drew Stanton game in 2006. It was the 10-year anniversary of that game. The Mike Clark game, it should be called.
Oh, against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When Mike was making his livid voicemails to anyone who would listen.
Yeah, total meltdown.
That was the funniest. That was probably the number one.
Nothing like a live meltdown while someone's watching the game.
I did love hearing the car trapped in the garage.
Yeah, it was great.
Such a classic, you know. It's the way he keeps saying, you know, Matt, the main thing is we just have to somehow separate the car from the garage. You know, like the garage is holding the car hostage.
It was.
And then I totally missed that. And the other thing is the roof just started raining. It started raining insulation.
A shower of insulation.
That's right. I was dying to ask him after the fact. This has been a pretty long time. What the cost of that repair was.
Oh.
It had to be pretty substantial.
Ask Matt.
The runners are off.
Oh. Yeah.
He just has to describe everything wrong. He can't just say, Matt, I fucked up. I hit my garage door. I forgot to raise it. There's a lot of damage. Call me.
Free my truck.
He leaves these voicemails. He tells you everything he was going to tell you in the call. And then he summarizes at the end.
He does. He gives a like a kind of a preamble, the body, and then a conclusion.
Yeah.
It's really well structured in that regard.
You think he would write fabulous term papers based on the way he does it.
Tuesday, 6:24 a.m.
Hey, Matt, it's Mike Clark. We've been talking about you on the air at 6:30.
6:24.
I'm on the way to work with my sister and Trish right now at 6:30. And you know why? Because, Matt, the garage door was all the way down, and I felt pretty good today. I mean, I was well rested and everything, and I stepped out in the garage, looked past the light.
There's an excuse.
And I put it in reverse, and I slammed into the garage door. So, Matt, the truck is trapped in the garage. The garage, the wheels are off, the runners. It literally ripped a section and followed up out of there. The one turning left followed him. Sit there.
Give me Trish directions. His sister.
Anyway, so the garage door is off the runners. It's like bowed in the middle, which I sort of pushed in from the outside. It also hit hard enough to where the support structures for the garage door, for the rails, for the opener, are literally pulled a little bit free from the ceiling.
He must have hammered that door.
I know.
Came down from the attic, and it's just a disaster. So, Matt, I was like, Trish's going to be home all day. I'm just looking for an emergency repair. And I don't care what it costs. You might as well. The biggest thing is we got to get the truck out of the garage because I got all these important errands to do today.
Important errands so to do.
Even if we don't fix the garage, say Matt, if we could just get somebody out to really bust the door off the hinges and get it out of the way to get the truck outside the house, okay? That's paramount. So, and then it's going to need the whole new thing. I would say obviously a new garage door, new railing. I mean, the whole thing from the very beginning is going to have to be rebuilt, the whole thing. So, anyway, man.
Wait.
So I'm with myself at 4-8. Okay. So, and again, the main thing for today is just, you know, doing whatever to get that the truck out, and then the garage door for the thought there can be leaned up against the garage and left that way for a while. So that's what we have to do. Okay? All right, Matt, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot. Sorry, what's with me and my garage door? What is the problem? All right, Jada.
I love that he instructs that the garage door could just be leaned up against the house for till whenever.
Clearly, the only thing in his mind was freeing that truck.
I know, he was really
for all
stuck
these
on
errands.
That.
What is he talking about? Errands?
Important errands.
What are you talking about?
You know what he's talking about? He's talking about like Trish getting her nails done.
Oh yeah, or taking the dog to the vet.
Trish's nails.
Which those are things that are scheduled that you can't. You know, or you can reschedule. Just a little,
absolutely, they can be rescheduled, but not in his world. Those things have to take place.
It would be harder to reschedule them.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh boy. The way his mind works.
I know. I was just thinking to him, like, wow, 6:30 morning, and he had no problem calling and leaving a message for somebody. Wouldn't you feel? I mean, is there really that much urgency? Couldn't he call it?
Oh, he wants eight. Matt's day to start with his garage door.
Yeah. No, it worked, too. Matt got over there and did a hell of a job. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Matt was running the show then, big time. And he knew
so
that.
Funny. He does. His mind does operate in different ways.
The description of all the things that are wrong with the garage, you know. And then at the end, he's like, well, basically, we're just going to have to start from scratch. You know, just redo the whole thing. But yet he has to, in his mind, go through every bit of damage, including the shower of insulation, which I don't think Matt's going to replace his insulation.
Well, you might know somebody.
He probably does.
I think it was to illustrate how much it ripped away from the ceiling. So if you're going to have to put up a new, you know, track
yes.
for the garage door, I don't know, maybe that's something he needed to know.
And he knows in his mind that this is way too much work for today, but he just wants that truck freed so badly. Because it's not the truck he needs freed. He wants to free himself.
Yeah, yeah.
That truck represents his own freedom, not driving to work with his sister, giving her directions. Oof. I'm kind of surprised. Well, no, not really. I was going to say I'm kind of surprised his sister doesn't know how to get to work.
Can you imagine the phone call between him and his sister at that hour?
I wonder how much information he gave his sister if he described all those things about the garage door to her.
Instead of just going, I'll explain when you get here, but I need a ride to work. Yeah. I'm really surprised he didn't call any of us at work to come get him. Because wouldn't we have
He didn't want anyone to see the garage.
Oh.
He knew there'd be pictures.
You're right.
And I don't blame him at all. that really is something, though. I mean, to think he got his sister's ass out of bed to drive him to work when we could have sent an intern over, but he knows that intern would have all kinds of instructions in terms of information.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oof.
That's really something. And maybe next year we'll find that Notre Dame game.
It's got to be out there somewhere. I would.
That Michigan State game too is really good.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
I always remember him. He's doing pretty good. He's still hanging in there with the comeback, but then the onside kick is when he just falls apart.
It was like half a day.
Yeah. Yeah. There's 5 minutes left, which is like half a day for Michigan. Oh boy. So Michigan's still ranked fourth. State's up to number eight.
Yep. And Louisville, of course, jumped to third.
By setting up quite an exciting game on the 29th of October. If these two teams roll into East Lansing undefeated. And I got to tell you, I just feel like...
They both got to get by Wisconsin first.
Yeah. Is Penn State any good?
No. They're garbage. Okay. And they're garbage people for honoring Jopa. Seriously,
yeah, I'm really kind of
sickened by it.
You know, I'm blown away that that ever happened. I'm blown away that wasn't stopped somehow. Why was that allowed to go on?
Maybe because it's the only opportunity you have to celebrate his 50th anniversary.
No, but I mean, couldn't the conference have stepped in and said, okay, you're not doing this? I mean, people do that now.
I suppose if that's the role of a conference. You would think
it's the role of everyone. It's like the LGBT law in North Carolina. I mean, it's like, you will not live with that law for long because you will have nothing in your state.
Well, you want the Big Ten to strip Penn State of games?
Hey, they can do anything. They can do anything they want. I mean, look at Duke basketball. They're losing home basketball games.
Yeah,
who would ever think that?
But that's because non-conference teams are withdrawing, breaking out of the contract. They have to go play there.
Well, I mean, that's only the beginning. I mean, that's just what's going on now.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Regarding Penn State, though, it just is incredibly tone deaf considering what else is going on with Baylor. And it's just really remarkable. And they kind of put it out there, and everyone was pissed off, and they just said, you know what, fuck it, we're doing it anyway. Damn it.
Well, no,
they just said, screw it, we're doing it anyway.
But no one threatened them. I mean, they weren't threatened with any kind of activity or action, or there was no punishment for it.
The feedback was pretty bad. I guess I guess everybody that just lives in that area is just doesn't care, and Joe Powell won a lot of football games. And, you know, hearing Herb Street talk about it on College Game Day was really amazing, because he's talking about all this great stuff he did for these players and shaped these players' lives and blah, blah, blah. And that's all well and good, but he also hurt a lot of kids pretty bad by ignoring what Sandusky did and what he knew. And this idea that...
Well, he's not the only one. I mean, a lot of people could have done something.
I know, but he's the deity. He's the one that they're honoring.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm sure...
My point is, to this point, and it's dumb to compare Sandusky to Paterno, because Sandusky is the one that committed the act. But I'm sure he had a lot of players that liked him, too, that he shaped a lot of their lives. You know what I mean? It's dumb. You can't.
They're not going to say that. I mean, I saw Todd Blackledge and Matt Millen and,
I'm sure Franco Harris is there, right?
No, he wasn't really? In this. There was three guys being interviewed, and it wasn't Franco Harris, but it was Matt Millen, Todd Blackledge, and, it's a big name. I'm not going to think of it. But anyway, they were going on and on about what an incredible influence he was. But we've heard this a million times. I mean,
nobody
I've heard about
that.
What a great man this guy was. And it sucks so bad that this guy who had the most incredible legacy, not just for winning football games and championships, but for shaping men. And, you know, I've read articles about his former players and how successful they are. I mean, it's an incredible.
Sure. Good,
it's unbelievable.
Good coach, bad man, though.
Well, you know, bad man, I mean, we are basically saying this one thing is enough to destroy everything you've ever done.
I think this one thing is bad enough to destroy everything he's ever done.
You know, I really don't know how to judge that part of it.
He knew in 1973.
I thought it was 1976, not that it mattered.
76 was the second one, absolutely.
But
even if you want to go with 76, he still knew.
Now, hold on a second. People who experience, I mean, adults who experience sexual abuse, women who experience sexual abuse, will say nothing for decades. Teenage boys, and granted, they're teenage boys. I mean, they're hardly in a position to mentally deal with something like that. But they'll go literally 30 years, and suddenly they'll say, hey, this guy did something to me. I mean, it is the most awkward. People don't know how to deal with this subject. They don't know how to respond to it. And I'm not making an excuse for them. But honestly, there's a ton of people, in my opinion, who could have very easily done the same thing he did. Which eventually, what was his response in 2001? He told the president, did he go to the president university or something?
Yeah, remember McQuarrie came to him with his daddy?
The redhead yeah. With the abnormally pink wiener?
Yep.
Yes.
The one who heard the rhythmic slapping. I don't know. Paterno could have put a stop to it, and he didn't. And he's incredibly powerful there. Let's say he didn't even know to the 89 when it was at 89 when Sando stepped down. When Ski Dog stepped down.
That was 99.
Was it 99? Okay.
I could be wrong about that. But yeah, remember, I think it was 99. I think it was.
Remember, he stepped down, and everyone's like, well, that's really weird that he's retiring. Everybody thought he would take over for Paterno when he was done. Or why not go get a job somewhere else? Well, the belief is, and you can believe it or not, was that Paterno knew and just, okay, that's finally when he made the decision to keep him off his staff. But he still let him retain entry to the football building. And he still had his second mile club.
But
for anybody to act like Paterno didn't know or he did all he can, I'm sorry. I don't know how anybody can be that naive to think that.
But think about all the pedophilia that has taken place in Well, just think of it taking place anywhere. I mean, the myriad, unfortunately, the amount of this shit, this crap that goes on. I mean, it's ungodly how much of this goes on. And look at all the people in all these cases who suspect it, yet for whatever reason, it's just so awkward. It's so, I don't think that people are saying, I'm going to let this go on. I don't think they're mentally telling themselves that. I think they're saying, I don't know if this is going on. I hope it isn't. And they maybe they even block it out. They just pretend it didn't happen.
How many times, though, do you have to be confronted with something like that?
Well, I think
rumors have to be persistent.
I think in a lot of these cases, it goes on for a long time. I mean, there's how many parents are there, mothers and fathers, who let or it's usually mothers in this case, I think, yeah, who sit there while the father molests the daughter. And in a lot of those cases, the daughters will tell you, she knew, she didn't do anything, she didn't protect me. And I bet you'd find that a lot of these women were fabulous people. But for whatever reason, they just don't know what to do, or they have some way of telling themselves that they're wrong.
Well,
it's not happening.
Maybe they could justify it, but Joe Paterno had the power and could do anything.
So
he
does the mother of that girl. She's got the power to do something.
Oh, I think a lot of times they do nothing because they feel powerless. Joe Paterno could have fired him.
I don't think it's a matter of being powerless. Why are they different than Joe Paterno? Why is a mother who allows her husband to molest her daughter? That's direct. She knows she's in the same house.
Well, no, they're both despicable. They both could do something. You're asking, like, why they wouldn't. I think it would be because they feel powerless, or they feel dependent on this guy. Joe Paterno wasn't dependent on Jerry Sandusky.
I think you'll find this taking place in wealthy homes.
Why don't they do it then?
Because I just don't think they know what to do.
Well, that's inexcusable.
It's so awkward, weird. I think a lot of them, maybe they pretend or they convince themselves that they're wrong.
It's inexcusable then. Were there people around Michael Jackson that knew?
Fuck yeah, there are people.
Okay. And aren't you pissed off at them? Because they could have done something too. That's very similar to Joe Paterno.
Anybody would be pissed off at him. But they had
something to gain from him, from not getting him in trouble, just like Joe Paterno had something to gain by his university not getting in trouble.
Joe Paterno, I don't think did he really gain that much? Paterno,
look how it tore that
Joe Paterno,
school down.
If Joe Paterno turned him in, he would have been a hero.
Exactly.
Don't you think Joe Paterno likes being a hero?
Yeah, but I thought he'd rather just let it go away. He wanted disappear.
I do not think it's as simple
as
Joe Paterno
got
saying,
hurt because of
I don't care if he molested all the kids in the world. He's not taking my program down. I don't think it's that
then
simple.
Why wouldn't he have said something?
I don't think he...
Because he chose to believe Jerry Sandusky instead of all the accusations against him.
Well, the police believe Jerry Sandusky. Should all those cops be stripped of their jobs?
What do you mean, all those police?
The DA investigated Jerry Sandusky.
The DA didn't bring up charges on him.
They didn't bring charges up.
Oh, I know. It's despicable.
Well, should they all be stripped of their jobs?
Maybe.
Do you think
he didn't do it?
Do I think Jerry Sandusky didn't do it?
Well,
I don't think he didn't do it.
Then they're awfully bad at their job.
In that case, they certainly were.
But nobody knew longer than Joe Paterno.
I don't think you can say no one knew longer than Joe Paterno. You don't know that.
Who else was around in 73 and 76?
There were whoever was around when those people were being molested were around. People knew about it. It just doesn't happen.
I hope those people don't get honored as well for their 43rd anniversary then for being around the program, because that's
just as despicable.
I don't know how they honor that guy.
I'm not saying Joe Paterno should have been honored. I thought it was horrible. In fact, I honestly, when this came out, I thought this is not going to happen. They're floating a balloon. They're seeing if the balloon doesn't get popped. And when it gets popped, they'll just go, okay, we'll do it later. But for whatever reason, and by the way, do you know the stadium exploded?
Oh, no, I watched the video.
And people went apeshit
over video.
Joe Paterno.
Yeah, exactly. And the Rutgers fans.
So are all those people horrible people who should be stripped of whatever they have?
I think they're a little misguided.
A little?
Yeah.
Just a little?
Uh-huh.
Why are they so much better?
What do you mean?
Why are they so much better than Joe Paterno?
The fans that cheered?
Yeah. They're cheering him like he's a hero.
No, I know. Well, they couldn't have done anything about it. I said misguided.
They're still saying he's a hero.
Because they...
They want his statue up.
I think that's ridiculous.
I'm just saying, I don't think this is as simple and cut and dried as you do. I don't think he should have been honored. I'm not saying that. I just think that this is, you can't judge Joe Paterno on his response to Jerry Sandusky. There are a million people who are caught up in these things, and they just, I just don't think they know what to do. I think they either block it out, or they tell themselves it's not happening, or they find it so abhorrent that they can't believe it's really happening, even though there's enough evidence to tell them that, well, something's going on. Something is wrong here. I just think people flip out. You've seen it a million ways. You know, with the Catholic Church, look at all those that stuff that went on for decades and decades and decades. And there were all kinds of people that suspected things and knew things. But they just, a priest? No, that can't be happening. And I just don't think they believed it was possible. And they let it go.
But could you imagine if they... if they went out and honored, what's the diocese, the Boston guy? Is it Cardinal Law? Is that the one that oversaw? Can you imagine if they honored him because he helped so many people? But yeah, he turned a blind eye. I think that's a good.
Well, for a priest, it's not to mention the fact the Catholic Church knew exactly what was going on and sent people to other locations to abuse children in those places. I mean, that's.
I think it was Cardinal Law that was kind of overseeing that archdiocese. Well, kind of like Joe Paterno was overseeing Penn State football. So just because that happened under Cardinal Law, that gets rid of all the good things he did for people? No, of course not. It's despicable. And they would never think of honoring him.
I'm not sure they wouldn't think of honoring him, but...
I don't know.
The whole thing just sucks. I mean, it just blows.
Did you see what Baylor did this weekend, by the way?
What did Baylor do? I know Art Briles has been on his apology tour.
Well, Art Briles was at the game, first of all, where Rice and the band, this is how ridiculous this is. The band for Rice did kind of a halftime show that kind of really poked at Baylor.
So, oh, yeah, the Title IX thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had to come out and apologize for it because people were pissed off about it.
Why would the Rice band do something like that?
Because they didn't think it was something to be made fun of.
No, I mean, I'm just surprised they would even.
Well, why would the band do it? No, you're right. You're right. That's definitely a too soon situation. But one of the guys who was kicked off, one of the guys at the center of it, I think his last name is Oakman, the defensive end, was at the game and went into the locker room after the game. They allowed him in the locker room. They allowed him around the team. What kind of punishment is that? So much so that the backup quarterback's like, he's a great guy and we like him, and he just got in a bad situation. He got into a bad situation. And then the new head coach there, Jim Grobe, basically said, I don't even know who he is.
Well, the
that's ridiculous.
One of the girls that was sexually assaulted was shown the Art Briles footage where he's apologizing and he seems pretty sincere. Anyway, she shot it down. She's like, oh, he is such a phony. This is total BS. He didn't do a thing for me. He's the one that let this thing go. And
he's more concerned about getting a job somewhere.
Well, I'm sure he is.
Another guy who had plenty of opportunity to apologize before do the right thing and chose not to.
Well, people aren't perfect, and
I know
people do stupid things. And
that was a flat-out cover-up.
I don't think it's always fair to just say that that's the only thing that person exists. That's the only.
Would you hire him,
Art Briles? I don't know. I don't know as much about that. I mean, enough about it to know that Art Briles is in a pretty shitty position. I'm never going to stop. Why can't I stop snoring? It's like I'm addicted to it.
We want to talk about something fun that kind of segues off of child molestation.
No, let's talk about child molestation more. Come on.
Did you see Corey Feldman
started
on the Today Show?
I didn't see it. I read about it, though. I'm dying to see this.
All right. Do you?
I know he's getting plastered on social media. He's bawling his eyes out. He's getting beat up so bad.
I'm going to present it without comment beforehand, but I meant to bring it up yesterday. You record the
Today
Show.
He's singing a song, right?
Yes.
Does he have a band on there?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't pull it up, Jay. I'm going to pull it up. Don't present it without comment.
Why would the Today Show have Corey Feldman's band on?
It don't know.
I mean, that seems like,
you know what, Jay, you might have to pull it up because I don't know if you have the right Today's Show, but whatever.
I'm just surprised that the Booker would even find this worthy of.
Well, it's their summer concert series. He's a name. Corey Feldman's a name.
Well, he's not outside playing in the street, is he?
No, God, no. But I wish the Booker would have thought about that time he played at that minor league baseball park. Remember that? What a disaster was. People heckling him. I'm sure the Booker did not know about that.
Corey Feldman just does not realize. He refuses. Well, you know, in a way, I give him credit. He just will not stop pushing forward with the idea that there's a big career for him in entertainment.
He's trying, I guess. I have a question, too, for when you see it. Go ahead. You can play it off there, then, Jay, if it's the whole thing. Okay.
Was this today?
I think it was last Friday.
Oh, was it? Oh, God, I missed it. I usually watch the Today Show. I've been more of a GMA guy.
Do you have the intro section where they're interviewing him? Oh, balls.
They probably have that on.
Go, is that
oh,
from
the, I, you know what? Oh, shit. I think I erased the Today Show yesterday.
Is that from the Today Show website has the whole thing? Because the pre-interview is hilarious, too. Because he says a couple things. It's like, what?
Well, let's see the let's see.
He talks about his, I guess he's got a charity, and he says something about it helps these women's realities become dreams.
The women in his band?
Yeah, whatever this charity is, but their realities become dreams. I think he means their dreams become reality. Okay, go ahead, roll it.
Remember when he was throwing those parties at his mansion?
Yeah, we had that one reporter went and paid.
Yeah, at the Feld Mansion.
Feld Mansion?
And they were charging people $250 to go.
Yeah, guys, right?
Guys, yeah. He provided the girls, but if you wanted to meet the Corey's Angels or whatever, you pay all that money. And, you know, it's just pathetic. This guy obviously had some stardom in the 80s, made some money, probably blew most of it, and there's not much career left. And so.
Oh, here. Okay. I just saw the tease for him on the TV. Here we go. Look at what he's wearing.
Why is he wearing that stupid hood?
It looks like he's wearing chainmail, you know, like armor. Here you go.
You by city. If you grew up in the 80s, right here, then you may have had some Corey Feldman posters on your walls. I'm going to say it right here.
First question.
Yes.
You've seen bands perform like live on a morning show.
Sure.
Have you ever seen them in costumes?
Not really.
Okay. Because Corey's band, which is all women, are dressed in full white angel outfits, complete with halo and wings.
How's a halo stay up over their head? That's amazing.
They're angels.
Oh, really?
His name is synonymous with the decade movies like Goonies, Stand By Me, License to Drive.
I don't believe Billy Bush had a poster, by the way. I don't. Do you? Double CD.
Yes, and we hear it's a labor of love for you. 10 years in the making. Look at that
album cover.
Angelic to the Core. He's going to sing for us in just a moment. Corey, good morning to you.
Good morning to you guys.
The Angelic.
The name of the album is Angelic to the Core.
Oh, please. I thought it was Jealous to the Core.
Oh, no. In the album cover are two angels pulling him out of, you know, hellfire.
Stand By Me, License to Drive. He's always had a passion for singing, and now Corey's got a double CD.
Yes, and we hear it's a label double of love CD? For you. 10 years in the making.
Not
it's
a good, not a good idea.
To the
cost
core.
More to put
out
two CDs.
Right. Just a moment, Corey. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you guys.
The Angelic. I see it all around
we
me.
We see
here.
Why.
The Angel Band.
Tell me what's happening. You look. You got a Grim Reaper look going on. And the angels are here. I don't like this interaction.
No, you know it's all actually the whole theme of the album is that good versus evil, heaven versus hell, all that sort of thing. So. They're angelic, and if you look actually at the artwork on the album, you'll see that it's me trying to crawl out of a fiery pit, and it's the angels pulling me out. So that kind of all goes along with the concept.
Why this concept?
Well, probably because I know that angels have probably saved me once or twice in my life, and I like helping them as well. That's why I created Corey's Angels as a way to help girls who are like kind of lost and needed to find their way to get their opportunities, their dreams, and
by
make
me
them
fucking
realities.
Them. Yeah.
And that's what we do. We try to help them.
What the fuck does that mean?
You know, their dreams.
And you dedicated one album to Michael Jackson and the other to Corey Haim, is that right?
Yeah, there's actually four dedications. One to my grandfather, one to Corey Haim, one to Michael Jackson. Majestic, who was also a friend of Michael's.
He dedicated it to Majestic the Magician, Remember Michael Jackson's friend Majestic the Magician who just died?
God, are you kidding me?
He dedicated the album to that guy.
Stupid.
To Michael Jackson, to his grandfather as well, and Corey Haim.
Michael Jackson, who, by the way, he implies was trying to groom him for molestation.
He absolutely was.
Yeah.
Their dreams and make them
Majestic
realities.
The
and that's what we do. We try to help them make their realities, you know, their dreams.
And you dedicated one album to Michael Jackson and the other to Corey Haim, is that right?
Yeah, there's actually four dedications. One to my grandfather, one to Corey Haim, one to Michael Jackson. Majestic, who is also a friend of Michael's.
So there's going to be some MJ moves coming here in a minute.
Does it kind of come
No MJ moves. No, yeah, it's kind of a similar style of dance. Because we grew up dancing together. So he was my idol, obviously.
Oh, nice try, Corey.
Shall we get to it?
You have that feeling. It's about to go down in here. I also have it. Let's do this.
Yeah, oh, it's about to go down, all right. I should just videotape your face. I can't wait to see what it looks like when you see him dance.
Did Billy mean that was, there's a train wreck about to take place?
All she better do is twerk.
Hit the club, tell him.
Michael Jackson never danced like that, ever.
If I didn't know better, I would think he was mocking Michael Jackson's dancing. This hook will get stuck in your head and you're going to be mad at yourself. Chick's kind of hot.
Yeah.
No, we're not gonna stop until we reach the top. The top. You made top of the two syllables.
Oh, God.
What are the dancing?
With lies they tarnish you, try to abolish you. Spin your good deeds until they become bothers.
His voice is awful.
They match your name with shame. They point and laugh at you that nobody knows their name.
He's right in the face of the camera.
Yeah, awkward.
It's cool when oh God, I don't know, when Mick Jagger does it, it's cool.
Yeah, well, you want to see
Elvin does it
because you want to see Mick Jagger's face.
Yeah. Go for it.
I swear, Corey's Angels look kind of bored during this song.
Yeah, no, they do. Like, should we really be doing this?
Here comes a new twist. Oh, here's some dancing. Doesn't it look like he's doing a basketball crossover move?
Oh, God, is that
like
weird?
Like a double dribble crossover. Here comes Doc Ice for no reason whatsoever. Doesn't fit in the song. Watch Feldman twerk. Corey's still dancing like mocking Jackson.
It was supposed to be like ludicrous coming into the song.
Yeah, yeah.
Go. Who is that Joel?
He's in a rap group in the 80s.
I mean, was he significant?
No, not really. Listen to how much they love it.
Room.
I will. I'll try.
I like that.
Thanks,
guys.
Singing
back
the
hook.
I'm dying to see some of the online comments.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you. That was
awesome. Made him cry.
Good dancing.
Good dancing. Who said good dancing? Was that you, Billy Bush?
He was actually celebrating. He thought like he just sold 500,000 copies with that performance.
The very beginning when he's playing the air piano and then this light crossover with the bird flapping. That's what the dance was. It was, he went from mock piano to foot crossover to bird flapping. What the hell? I hope they do it. Do they do a post interview with him?
Like a buzzard in heat.
Oh God, that was awful. Go for it. Go it will for be stuck it. In your head.
Yeah, those girls really looked like they weren't sure this was such a good idea.
They were so bored.
I mean, they were told they were going to be on the Today Show, and they're like, oh my God, the Today Show! And then when they got out there doing it, they were like, oh my God, is this really going to work out okay?
Let's see.
Where was all that sound coming from, by the way? I don't believe those two guitars and that. And yeah, that was there had to be some massive tracks.
I was watching them. They totally were not.
Well, you know, you can't play live on TV.
No, but they weren't even air guitar jokes at all.
I'm the production's too complicated to reproduce, so they had to play some tracks.
But the air guitar was way off.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, they were nowhere near.
I'm looking for the video, because he responded in a video, but I can't find it. Here's what he said. Maybe this is it. Corey Angel sobs while speaking out against Today's Show reaction. We're petrified to even go out. Corey Feldman responds to his now viral video. Of course, it's taking off because it's utter garbage.
Corey Feldman sobbed in a Facebook Live post responding to his critics for his now infamous performance on the Today Show. Friday, he debuted his new song, Go For It, and the appearance received a bit of backlash. In his now deleted post, he said, quote,
when they said that, they showed a tweet that said, maybe Matt Lauer made Corey Feldman perform to take the heat off his debate performance.
All we can say is that we tried really hard because we love our fans and we just wanted to give them the best show that we could.
What fans?
But we don't deserve these things that are being said about us are awful.
Don't deserve.
Feldman was a popular teen actor in the 80s. He starred in The Goonies and The Lost Boys.
That's it? No, I want to hear him crying.
I want to hear him.
I want to hear him crying.
Any comments on the under the performance, Jay?
All right, here's the response, I believe.
Never stop, never stopping is one of the comments.
Well, it's been an interesting weekend. We wanted to come back on and talk to you guys about our feelings yesterday and our feelings over the whole weekend. But yesterday, we made that post and we only left it up for a few hours because... you know, we felt that people were maybe seeing it the wrong way, seeing it as a form of weakness. It wasn't necessarily a form of weakness. It was a form of me wanting to show people that I'm human and that we're human.
What are you talking about?
And that
about?
We bleed and we
your song
cry
sucked.
And we have feelings just like everybody
else. It sucked. It was not melodic.
And when you're amidst a bunch of really negative, awful things being said...
You're not a singer.
You know,
you're not a performer.
You're going to react. Like, that's just part of being human.
He took part one down, so I don't know where he's
just
balling.
Just to show you that we're not that weird, we feel just like everybody else. And
disband the band
now
immediately,
that we've had
Corey.
Some time to reflect on all of this, I think we've come up with a few things that we want to say a little bit more cohesively.
All you should say is, go for it.
Not with such emotional upheaval. So first off, Courtney, you can feel free to jump in if you want to say anything too. But
yeah, we just like it's just been
angels?
Like an
One
emotional roller coaster for both of us.
It's been
and,
like an emotional,
you know,
roller coaster.
When such awful things are being said about somebody that you love and you care about so much,
you don't love him.
It really messes with your head. And so I've just been trying to keep positive and keep strong for this guy right here because he needs it and
he needs it
just,
so he sucks.
We're just trying to keep
our
chins up and be
we're trying to help him
and show the world that, you know,
right. I just want to see him cry. Let me see if I can find the crying video.
Do we have him crying, Jay? Is that what that is? I think we might have it.
Oh, awesome. Rock. Let's hear it.
So please cry. Please be Corey crying. This is bullshit.
Bullshit.
What? Well, they took it off, huh?
You know, there should be a way to go to these dipshits that put these stupid videos up like this, making it rope you in to think it is. You should just like instantly have your YouTube account just like nullified.
Absolutely.
We should have the power to just shut it down. Like, no, this is horse shit, you know?
Amen.
Sorry.
No, apparently he's had the internet scrubbed of himself crying. I can't find
it.
Bring
the comments back, Jay. I can read the comments while Mark looks. They're grim.
Should we call him, by the way?
Corey, we have his phone number? Uh-huh. Yeah, let's call him. This is what happens when actors think just because they can act and have money that it can buy them acceptance as musicians. You need you need talent to make music, Corey. And that's also what happens when they have a bunch of yes guppies around them. Corey, hey guys, is that any good? Guppies. You were great, buddy. Really talented. Now let's go out and spend more of your money. You're being really too generous saying he can act. He had a small part in one award-winning movie and was basically a C-lister for 10 years making horrible movies with people definitely convincing him he was more popular than he was. I'm pretty sure we're all referencing his dancing and wardrobe, not his stupid band. Corey, get some friends who'll be honest with you. Anyone who cares about you would tell you how bad the performance was and save you the grief you are getting now. Caps. Don't ever sing like that! Corey, you should have disappeared 20 years ago, buddy. Try and reinvent yourself another way. Maybe through acting. Probably not, though. He's a wonderful person who revealed very personal aspects of his life in order to help save our children. He deserves kindness and respect.
Save our children. He dedicated the album to Michael Jackson.
Wait, go back to Jackie D. I liked it. It was way better than the so-called music that is playing on the top 40 channels.
Oh, wow.
I like different. Sick and tired of generic crap that's mainstream. You go for it, Corey. You rock, man. Real heart and soul. And then the next post is, you're retarded. two posts down. I never laughed so hard.
Oh, when he first starts that air piano bird thing dance in the beginning, I couldn't stop laughing the first time.
God killed the wrong Corey.
Oh.
Both Corys are cool, bro. Stop hating. No, he just only half finished the job. Oh, God. Oh, Lordy.
Call him up. Dial him up. See if he answers.
Looks like Charlie Sheen's evil twin. Yes, slight. I would like to take a shit in his top hat.
Ugh.
That was bad. That was just grisly bad. Oh, was that bad. And the song just sucks.
Yeah, he got emotional, criticized people for public shaming him, broke down in tears. Is he real? We can't get out of bed right now. We're petrified to even go out.
He is so emotionally stuck at age 10.
You have reached a number so that bad has been disconnected or is no longer phone. In service.
Remember
if
him
you
on,
feel you have reached this recording.
On The Surreal Life?
Yeah, when he got married.
Yeah,
how intensely in love he was.
He's in a house with seven other C-list people, basically, and he's the only one who can't figure out how to quite get along with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure.
No, he's just on a different plane, man.
Yeah, no, he thinks he's a big star. He can't somehow get used to the fact that that was what happened 25 years ago. It was probably a fluke.
Listen to the story. This
happy
is
a, for it.
This is about his Facebook video where he's crying. Speaking of the performance, which was mercilessly ridiculed online, he continued, we put ourselves out there. We did the best we could. And, like, I've never heard such mean things said about me, like, constantly. The stand by me star began to cry. He insisted that they had tried really hard. Condemned the response as awful. We love our fans. We just wanted to give them the best
fans,
show.
Fans, you don't have fans. No one liked it.
His mangel spoke up.
Oh, no. Explaining, is that his main angel?
Oh, I so wish there was video of this when it happened. Explaining that she had Googled the performance, was taken aback by the barrage of harsh criticism. See how pumped up she was to Google her performance? And then, ooh, boy, bombs right in her face.
Ouch, ouch,
she began to explain the response, but Corey cut in, sharing criticism such as, like, oh, it's so bizarre, he's so weird, and he's so odd. Corey, there's a lot worse comments than bizarre and odd.
Oh, my God, yes.
Corey reminded everyone that it's just a song, insisting the performance wasn't that weird and did not merit such shaming. I'm sorry if it's not good enough for you, but you don't have to beat us up. I just want to say that, like, why is it okay to publicly shame us? I don't understand. It's, like, not PC to say somebody is fat or somebody's white or somebody's black or somebody's yellow or
green. Oh, it's not PC to say a performance sucks?
And if they have a short leg or a missing finger, like, we can't talk about those things, but it's okay to bash Corey Feldman and the Angels, third person. Bash for using third person talking about your performance.
It is okay.
I think he's failing to realize that, I'm sure, you know, how many bands are in America? There's probably millions and millions of bands.
He thinks that political correctness covers bands' performances and people's ability to say that it sucks.
Apparently, but he doesn't realize he's getting preferential treatment, so he's going to be judged a lot harsher than say any regular band.
Yeah, because
anyway.
No regular person could have a performance that shitty and get on the Today Show.
Yeah,
it would never happen.
They reveal they were afraid to leave the house following the response, ending that.
Oh, afraid
really
to leave the house.
Freaked out over this, and it's really not fair.
Afraid to leave the house because he's going to get ridiculed.
Yeah, man. I saw in the Day Show, nice bird dance into dabbing into air piano, you dork. By the way, I love the Goonies. Will you sign my baby's head? They'll ridicule him and then ask for an autograph or take a selfie. You took a selfie of me, you sucked in the Today Show.
Oh, man.
Anne, who I believe is his mangel, added that Corey was really down last night, commenting, this is a quote, and like, I don't even know what to do or say because I thought the performance was good, and I was, like, excited about it. Corey concluded by noting that it should not be accepted no matter who you are, bullying.
Oh,
doesn't matter if
Corey.
You're a celebrity or not. We deserve love. We deserve like normal life.
No,
okay.
No, that's not how the entertainment world works, you dork.
Yeah, you put yourself out there. You're going
to
get
suck.
Hammered.
People tell you suck. That's how it works. And no one buys it. And you go back to the drawing board.
If you were the hottest artist in the world up there right now, like if you were Adele, there'd probably be negative comments about you.
Hey, if Kanye got up there and did that stupid song.
Oh, he'd get hammered too?
Yeah, he'd get hammered.
See, he would revel in it. You know, and just act like nobody else gets it. Trying to see if there's any other good comments here.
You appear to be totally scrubbed, Jay.
I'm looking.
I mean, you have no idea how Jay is just firing through the internet. No one has moved through the internet at such rapid speed. Jay is so desperately trying to find Corey's sobbing.
Corey also addressed why his backup singers and musicians were all wearing angelic white costumes complete with halos.
Oh, how did he address that?
You know that angels have probably saved me once or twice in my life. Oh, that's because he said it on the thing.
Oh, so the band's appearance is all about him.
Oh, they fixed his quote because he said dreams make them realities. Where on the show he said dream, he said realities into dreams. I can't believe Majestic Magnificent got a thank you.
Let's try this.
Oh, we might have something here. Heads up.
But you don't have to beat us up.
When you're amidst a bunch of really negative, awful things being said, you know, you're going to react. Like, that's just part of being human. So, just to show you that we're not that weird, we feel just like everybody else.
Anyway, I hope you're happy.
Start crying, Feldman!
Who's that dork that was hosting that?
I don't know. Dime a dozen on YouTube.
Was he excoriating people for their reactions?
It sounded like he was mockingly doing it.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of bad reviews, the first American fried chicken ran by the family of
the latest
worst
terrorist
ever.
Yeah. Didn't kill anyone.
Successful terrorist. Nice ha-ha. Try. That company's Yelp is getting hammered with reviews.
Well, let's see if people are enjoying the place.
Let's see here. Congratulations to the one star. Congratulations to the family-owned business that not only produces the worst chicken on the East Coast, but raised the worst terrorists ever to hit American soil. 3 bombs, multiple guns, and nobody got seriously hurt. This guy probably got a participation ribbon at middle school track meet. Send them all home. America can't do this anymore. Scott M. from Los Angeles, California. Let's find another one.
I love people just go, oh, I'm reading about this terrorist. They got a chicken place. Let's go to Yelp and give a review.
No, 1 star. 5 men from their family were stopped in the Verrazano Bridge out of town. Illegal weapons were found in the car. Perhaps they were just delivering a chicken takeout order. So much for giving the poor struggling family a break. What a laugh. Yikes. Thank God we didn't spend our money there. That's from Rick from New Jersey. Oh boy. Oh, 1 star. If you're a filthy Mohammedan savage, then by all means stop by and enjoy the cockroach laden halal food. Yikes. Which means the animal has been ritually tortured before processing because Satan/Allah commands it. Also, don't order the ribs, pork chop, bacon, sausage menu items. They just go on and on and on.
Yeah, boy.
Let's see. One star. How about no one ever eats here again? Right under our nose, people. This wasn't just one man who worked here. It's a family-owned business that supports terrorism.
Yeah.
Spend your money on businesses that don't hate America. Well, how are you supposed to know that beforehand?
I mean, they could have signs in their windows that have Hate America in a circle slash.
But it's called First American Fried Chicken.
Fake.
This is another one from today recently. Five stars. This place is amazing. Ribs, seafood, fried chicken, and subs all in one place. Personally, this family deserves a lot of credit.
This is a family member.
Starting a business in America isn't easy, but they've done it, and they've picked up what a lot of Americans want. It's savvy. I support this family fully. You can't be responsible for what your family members do. We all have black sheep in our family. It's love that makes the world go around. Live and let live. Hope your business thrives. Sorry about the media.
Oh, sorry about the media? What do you mean the media?
He's wrong, as the other reviewer pointed out.
What did the media do, dick?
Five members of their family were busted on their way to the airport.
Yeah, with weapons.
One star. This place blows. I wonder if the family will be attending Hillary Clinton's next fundraiser, like the father of the Orlando terrorist did. It's funny how people boycotted Chick-fil-A for having family values and a bakery for their religious beliefs. First American Fried Chicken, they should change their name to reflect their beliefs. Fry America.
Oh, man.
One star. They're as bad as making... This is a good one. One star. They're as bad as making chicken as the idiot kid is at terrorism. Multiple bombs and shootings, and the loser didn't even seriously injure anybody.
It's funny, America's mocking him for not killing any of us.
I know. Well, good. Good. One star.
You're the shittiest terrorist America's ever seen.
They think the chicken here is the bomb. There's so many that make jokes about it being the bomb. But it's really a bunch of duds. Quality is severely lacking. Maybe it's the way they do their prep, but it never delivers what they expect. As for delivery, they're very late. Like, very late in the night. They often sneak up on you when you least expect it. And even then, they're disappointing. So overall, very cheap, very low bang for your buck, but you get what you expect. Wow.
Oh, boy. Well,
here's some more good ones. One star. I was told that the pressure cooked fried chicken was the bomb, but I must have come across one of the duds. Mine tastes of greasy bacon. I had to keep spitting out ball bearings. One star. Five stars. Ate here last week. It was a blast.
Oh, man. Come on.
People. Hey, a little levity, right? You know? One star. The food will give you explosive diarrhea. One star. Tried to order some chicken, but they told me they used all the pots and pans to make IEDs they placed around town. One star. Was told chicken was the bomb. All it gave me was explosive diarrhea. Luckily, toilet maintained integrity. No further injuries. Would recommend dumpster diving over First American Fried Chicken. Hey, a little levity, right? There's some injured, but nobody's dead.
Fabulous.
Everyone should survive. Oh, that's awesome.
I give the reviews 5 stars.
One star. Terrorist owned and operated.
We need to... any more?
One star. They have a chicken coop out back where chickens were seen wearing burkas and listening to an audio version of the Quran while ingesting poison before they head off to infidel dinner tables. You have been warned.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Come on. Give me more diarrhea ones. I kind of want to read the one star guy that said this food will give you explosive diarrhea. Kind of want to read his other reviews. Not as good as the Guantanamo location. The 72 Virgin Bucket Special is only good with the jihad sauce. People.
That's okay. You know what we should do is we should wrap up part one and roll into part two, which, among other things, there is a very strange medical procedure that went askew for a young lady.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're saying. Locally?
No, but you will find it very interesting, trust me.
Oh.
And
there's some local stuff of interest. Including a death in the media world.
Oh, yeah. A media death. And also Wayne T. Jackson's church, which hosted Donald Trump, came under attack.
By a radio station, kind of.
Kind of. Well,
he was just there. That's right.
It's actually, was it, it came under attack from New Era Detroit. Actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And 7th Street Radio was there. I think that's
a podcast.
Yeah,
that's the radio station.
Isn't it? Is it a radio station?
No idea.
Anyway, yeah, well, the audio from that, from the Reverend Wayne T. Jackson, is hilarious. And what else for part two? There's something else I definitely wanted to get into. The chick who's she was sending a video of herself giving a BJ to her ex to bum him out. And she ended up having the big bummer.
Oh, really?
It kind of backfired on her.
Why would that bum him out? He's done with her.
She was just trying to make him jealous, I think.
Just assuming she's blowing other guys, right? If you're done with her.
Yeah, true.
She's never slut. Allowed to blow another guy.
Well, you're done with me, you're a slut then.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, he didn't think that way. She thought he would think that way.
Oh, she made a big mistake. Big mistake. And I'll explain that to you. Charlotte McKinney taking some nice photos.
Oh, really? My girl?
Yeah, you'll be very happy about that.
Good job, Charlotte.
And the latest presidential poll from Michigan, too. And as Mark mentioned, a media death that's rather significant. Also, I think one of our local establishments, one of our local institutions has re-upped their logo and their slogan. And I think they've made a mistake.
I think it's awful.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, I think it's terrible.
The slogan is horrible.
I haven't seen the slogan. Oh. The logo is atrocious.
The slogan's worse than the logo.
Really?
By a mile.
Oh, boy.
In my opinion, it's funny, too, because they explain why it's so good. So we'll have all that for you and much more coming up on part two. So keep popping, everybody.